It's good to see everybody who is here this evening. You're probably going to figure out that the sermon this evening goes along with the sermon this morning. So I'm going to go back to my sermon this morning and try to talk to you briefly about what we learned. The sermon this morning was talking about seeing God and how that through the creation itself, there really is no excuse. You can deduce God's existence from the creation itself. And then to understand what God is like, you have to realize that the Bible really is from God, that it is revelation from the Creator himself and about us and our universe. And then the ultimate revelation of God is God in the flesh, Jesus the Christ. If you want to know what God the Father is like, look to Jesus, who is in him, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then when you realize that God exists, that the Bible is from God, and that Jesus is the Christ, this is preparing you for the future when you see God in judgment. So that when you see God in judgment, you will be allowed the honor of ultimately seeing God face to face in heaven itself. And so now we're going to be talking about, in our sermon this evening, what is referred to in the Scriptures as the last day. The Scriptures teach very plainly that the universe that God made in the very beginning, Genesis 1:1, the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, that universe, at some point in time in the future, is going to be taken out of existence. And this is referred to in the Scriptures as the last day. What we're going to be doing is going to the Scriptures and through the eyes of faith, believing what the Word of God says, see what is going to all happen on that day, the last day. We're going to start here in John chapter 11 and verse 24. Martha said to him, "I know that he will arise again in the resurrection at the last day." In the context here is talking about her brother Lazarus, who has died. Jesus is about to raise him from the dead. But she says something here that is a very important spiritual reality to understand. She understood and she knew the resurrection was going to take place in the future. And she knew through the teachings of Christ and the Word of God when that resurrection was going to be. It was going to be at the last day. This is one of the foundational doctrines of Christianity. The resurrection is real. Death is part of our world. I've been to enough funerals already. And I have a gut feeling I'm going to go to a lot more funerals. That is the reality of our world. Sin came into the world, and then through sin, death came into the world. And you need to realize, everyone who has ever died in the past, go all the way back to Cain and Abel, go all the way back to Adam and Eve. Everyone who's died in the past, everyone's dying even this day, everybody's going to die in the future. There's going to come a point in time in the future of our world when every single individual who has died is going to rise from the dead, the resurrection. When that's going to happen is on the last day. Continuing now, going over to John chapter 6 and verse 40. "And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." In my sermon this morning, I was trying to emphasize to you the importance of going into the Word of God on your own. Going into the Bible on your own. You know, it's one thing to be raised in a Christian culture and to be told that the Bible's from God. I was taught that. I believed it because I was raised in that kind of culture. But there's nothing more affirming to your faith for you to read it yourself and for you to come to realize this is not from the mind of man. This is from the mind of God himself. Because you see, it is through the Word of God that everyone who comes to believe that somebody you've never seen, Jesus the Christ. You actually believe Jesus, somebody you've never seen, is the Christ, the Son of God, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. I believe that with all of my heart. I don't believe it because my culture says so. I don't believe it because my mom and dad said so. I believe it because I believe the book. I believe the word is telling me the truth. Look at this verse again. Here Jesus is talking about those who believe in him. They have everlasting life. The resurrection is going to take place. It's going to take place in the last day. And you're going to have those rising, as you're going to see later on, rising to condemnation, and others rising to eternal life. If you are going to rise to eternal life, it is going to be determined by what you do with this word. Whether you have heard the word and read the word on your own and come to the point of having your own faith by which you then live all the way to the close of your life. But look at what he says here. I will raise him up at the last day. It is Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit who are all going to raise us up in the last day. Continuing now. And going over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to spend quite a bit of time here in 1 Corinthians 15. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those that are who are Christ at his coming, then comes the end. All right, I want you to see several points here. Jesus is the first fruits to rise from the dead, never to die again. He is the one who is in heaven right now, who came to this earth in the form of flesh and blood, died, and then rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. He is the first one to receive the spiritual body, never to die again. You got one that's coming in the future too. When's that going to take place? It says, afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. And by the way, I want you to notice this. It says, then comes the end. Now then, I'm sure you probably still have some books that you have read, and you get to that very last page, and what does it say? The end. Okay. What does that mean? What that means is, that's the end of it. Then anything else after that? Then comes the end. When Jesus comes again, the resurrection takes place, folks, that's the end of it. There is no thousand years reigned after that, okay? If you wonder where I'm going with this, that premillennial concept, no, that's not there. Then comes the end. And he goes on further and he says, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he has put an end to all rule and all authority and power. Notice this, he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. The kingdom is already here. You're the kingdom. The kingdom is the church. The kingdom is the saved. And he's going to deliver to God the Father all of those who are constituted and members of the saved, his kingdom. So the question is this. Are you in the kingdom? Are you Christ's? Do you belong to Christ? Are you in Christ? Because it is by belonging to Christ, by being in Christ, by being part of his kingdom, that you are going to again rise to eternal life and ultimately be delivered to God the Father, to be with the Father. Let's continue now going back to 1 Corinthians 15. Now verse 42 through 44. This is talking about the spiritual body that's coming in your future. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. All right, folks, I'm just going to stay right up front. That's all I know about it. Because there's a lot of questions people have. I've had so many people say, what am I going to look like? I had a dear friend in Texas say, am I going to be taller? I don't know. I have no idea how tall you're going to be. I don't know what you're going to look like. I don't know if you're going to look like you do now, okay? I haven't got a clue. I'll know more about it then. Ask me on the other side. But this is what I do know about it. It's going to be incorruptible. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be a spiritual body. I believe this with all of my heart. You know why? Because the Bible just said so. This is the resurrection. This is the last day. When the resurrection takes place, that is when you are going to receive a spiritual body. and it is going to be that spiritual body that hopefully will be with God Almighty in heaven for all eternity. This flesh and blood you see right here, folks, it's not going to be there. It's going to be another body, your body, that's coming in your future. Let's continue with this, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 now, this time verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Okay, look at this now. Through the eyes of faith, look with me to this moment in your future. Okay? First of all, understand this. It's born a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. Here we're talking about the resurrection taking place. And he says, you're going to be changed. How quickly is it going to take place? In the twinkling of an eye. Now, come on, somebody blink for me. Thank you, Olga. I was waiting for someone to blink. That's how quick it's going to be. The twinkling of an eye is how long it takes you to blink. You're going to be changed that quickly. And he says it's going to be raised incorruptible. You're going to be changed. The dead are going to rise. This is one of the core doctrines of Christianity. It is our belief in this that gives us hope of seeing our loved ones who have died in Christ ahead of us. There's going to come a point in time where everybody you know and everybody you love who was in Christ and died in Christ with their faith intact, there's going to come a point in time in the future when we are all going to be together. So if you're grieving over the loss of loved ones because they finished the race ahead of you, I got something I want to encourage you to do. Finish your race. Finish your race in Christ. Make sure you die in Christ, maintaining your relationship with God through faith all the way to the close of your life. So when the resurrection does come, and it is coming, we can all rise together with the spiritual body. I don't mind telling you this. There's a reason I want to be buried in Grenada, Mississippi. I don't know exactly how it's going to be on that day, but I want to, if I'm allowed to do it, and if it's able to be done, to look over at my wife, and look over at my mother, and look over at my dad, as we're rising together to be with our God in heaven. I'm looking forward to it, and I believe this is coming in my future. I believe it's coming in your future on the last day, because the scriptures teach it. This is something we made reference to this morning. The last day is the day of judgment. In John 12:48, he rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Here he's making reference now to the last day again. And he's telling us something that's going to happen on that day. The day of the resurrection is also the day of judgment. And as I told you in the sermon this morning, I'm telling you again now, it is all going to be determined by how you respond to what's written in the Word of God. That's why you got to read it yourself. That's why you got to go into it and read it and study it, because this is where your faith comes from. This is where your knowledge of the will of God comes from. And when you take your knowledge of the will of God and then have your faith driving you to obey that will, brethren, in a nutshell, that's Christianity. When you're by faith doing the will of God, and for you to know the will of God and have that faith, you got to go to the Word. Because that Word is what's going to judge you in the last day. Continuing now over in John chapter 5 and 22. He says, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. It is true, we will be before the throne of God. But you need to understand this. Who is it God has committed all judgment to? The Son, Jesus. Now, I want to tell you something about this. I draw great comfort from that. That the Son of God is going to be the one judging me by the Word of God, by the words that He spoke in the last day. The reason I draw great comfort from that is because the one who's going to be judging me is the one who died for me. The one who loves me so much, he gave himself as a living sacrifice on Calvary so my sins that I foolishly did could be forgiven. He is my advocate right now. He is my mediator right now. Every prayer I take to God Almighty in heaven, I go through the mediator, Jesus Christ. All spiritual blessings that I am enjoying are in Christ. And Jesus, as my advocate, pleads on my behalf. So you think about this. The one who died for you, the one who's your advocate right now, the one who every prayer that you prayed to God has passed through, he's going to be the one who judges you. I would say he knows you rather well. He knows you extremely well. He knows you completely. And he knows how you have responded to his word. The word that he has given us, that he is the mediator of. He knows your reaction to it. Have you received the word and let it produce faith and knowledge of his will that you've kept now by faith? Or have you just rejected it and it's just a notebook? You need to know this. If you just push the Bible away like it's just a foolish book, you have just condemned yourself to eternal condemnation in hell. Because you're going to be judged by this book in the end. If you don't make it to heaven, it's not God's fault. If you don't make it to heaven, it's not Jesus' fault. The judge died for you. The judge is your mediator now. The judge is your advocate now. And if the judge pronounces you to be condemned, it's your fault totally. Because you rejected Christ crucified. You rejected the blood of the Son of God. You rejected the Word of God. You rejected His salvation. And so you will be rejected. It all comes down to how you receive the seed of the Word of God. Going back to John 5 now, verse 27 through 29. And has given his authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Going further in the context, I'm going to continue reading here. I'm going to the outline now. Do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Let's just stop right there. Whose voice? Christ. Everybody who is in the grave is everybody. That's what I was telling you earlier, folks. On the last day, it is the day of the resurrection. And everybody is going to rise from the dead, and everybody is going to be changed. Everybody's going to receive a spiritual body. But the big question is this. Where's that spiritual body going to spend eternity? Going back to the text, it says, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Now, I got a really important question. Do you believe that verse? Do you believe the resurrection is coming for real? Do you believe Jesus is going to call and all those who are in the graves, everybody is going to come forth? Yep. I believe every bit of that, folks. But I also believe that there's going to be a resurrection to life and a resurrection to eternal condemnation. The question is, which side are you going to be on? There is no third way. There is no limbo. There is only heaven or hell. Which side are you going to be on in the resurrection? It all comes down to what you do with the Word of God now. Let's continue now. This time we're going to Revelation 20, a verse we looked at this morning. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Do you remember how this section opened earlier? The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. This new covenant under which we live, the New Testament, is the word of God that is going to be judging us in the last day. So since you're going to be judged by what's written in this book, don't you think it's a good idea to know what the book says? You know, the Apostle Peter writing in Peter, I think it's over in 2 Peter, the first chapter, he says, make your calling and election sure. Folks, I want to make sure I am ready to meet my God in judgment, making sure I have obeyed the gospel of God. Making sure if there's any sin between me and God, I have dealt with it. That's why I closed the sermon the way I did this morning. If there's any sin standing between you and God, even right now, what should you do with it? Go straight into it and deal with it immediately. Why? Because this is coming in your future. This is your future. You and I are going to be judged by the books, by what's written in here. And this is trying to show you how you can be saved by grace through faith. How you can have your sins forgiven by the blood of the Christ. How you can die in Christ and be saved. And so when you go over to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, he says, For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? There's so much you can learn from this verse. All right. First of all, judgment's going to begin where? When judgment takes place, who's going to be judged first? You and me. Judgment's going to begin at the house of God. But notice what he says here. What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? I want you to learn from the second part of the verse a very important lesson. Those who do obey the gospel of God are those who constitute the house of God. I'm going to say that again because I want you to get this. Those who obey the gospel of God are those who make up the house of God. And according to 1 Timothy, a house of God is the church of the living God. The way you become a member of the house of God, of the family of God, of the church of God, is by obeying the gospel of God. And so, first of all, you need to make sure you've obeyed the gospel of God. And then you need to make sure you're living by faith. And if there's any sin between you and your God at all, you need to take it to God in prayer and pray for forgiveness yet again. I've told you this before. If I am allowed to have any time before I die and I'm conscious, what am I going to be saying while I'm dying? For one last time, I'll be praying for God to forgive me and watch over my family while I'm gone. So, the last day is the day of the resurrection, and it's the day of judgment. And it's also the reason it's called the last day is because it's the last day of earth. The next text we're going to be looking at comes from over in 2 Peter. It's a rather lengthy reading, so we're going to take a little bit of time and break it down. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Now, again, we're talking about the last day because he refers it here to it as the day of judgment. And we've learned earlier the day of judgment is the last day. He used the phrase here, the heavens and the earth, because this goes back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Folks, that's all of it. The entire universe that God created in the very beginning. It is all being held together right now by the power of the Word of God. And it is going to be God who is going to be taking it out in the very end. And it's going to be done by fire. As you continue the text here, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. All right. First part of verse 10. It talks about how the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Now, then I have a question for you. How many of you got pre-notices from the thieves who were going to steal from you? They didn't do that, did they? And if a thief is going to come to your house and rob you, he's not going to say, can you please leave your house at 10 o'clock tonight because that's when I'm coming? A thief does not tell you when he's coming. The lesson is this. God's not going to tell you when he's coming. God's not going to tell you when it is the last day. And so since you don't know when it's going to be the last day, you need to live every day of your life as though this is it. That's the whole concept of being prepared and being ready to meet your God as though this is the day. Getting back to the text here, he says that there's going to be a great noise. And look at this. The elements will melt with fervent heat. This is getting down to the molecular level, brethren. This is talking about the elements themselves with the protons and the electrons and the neutrons. Putting it another way, matter itself is going to be completely dissolved to where matter itself and the entire universe will cease to exist. He is taking it completely out of existence, all of it. And look at verse 11 now. He says at the very end of verse 10, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Okay. Since you realize everything you see is temporary, the entire earth and everything in it is going to be dissolved, burned up. How should you live? What kind of life should we be living knowing this reality of our world in the future? Well, he gives the answer here. Holy conduct and godliness. Striving to live a life of holiness, keeping his word by faith, keeping his word by, listen to this, godly fear. Godliness here is godly fear, reverence, and awe toward God manifest in the way in which you speak and live. And so, yes, I am looking toward judgment. I'm looking toward the reality of the end of this world and everything in it to realize this world is not what it's all about. What it's all about is the future, the new heaven and the new earth. Getting back to the text here. He says in verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Getting back now to verse 13, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace without spot and blameless. Okay. We're looking for new heavens and a new earth. He is going to take the first heavens and the first earth out of existence. He is going to create new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness dwells. There's not going to be any Satan, any temptation, any lust of the flesh, any lust of the eyes. None of that's going to be in the new heaven and the new earth. No sin whatsoever. I want to take us to a moment in our future. In our future, there's going to come a point in time after the resurrection, after we have received the spiritual body, when we are told, well done, good and faithful servant, in the day of judgment, when we are going to be with God Almighty, and we are going to love our God Almighty with a perfect heart, perfect love for all eternity, and we're going to love one another with a perfect love, and I'm never going to sin again. Yeah, that's coming in my future. That's coming in your future. When you're finally going to love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind for all eternity. Never sin again and never die again, folks. This is the Christian hope. I believe this. This is what the Bible teaches us. And I believe it with all my heart. And so he says here, beloved, looking forward to these things? Yeah. Looking forward to it. See it coming. He says, be diligent to be found by him in peace. I want to make sure there's peace between me and God, that all sins have been forgiven without spot. No sin between me and God. Blameless, no sin between me and God. Do you see that? No sin between me and God. Holy, without spot, blameless. So what I'm trying to implore all of us to do is take sin seriously. It's why Christ died for you. And if sin is standing between you and your God, what are you waiting for? Deal with it. The blood of Christ is there for you. Get it removed. Get it forgiven. To where when you do die, because you have been forgiven and the sin has been washed away by the blood of the Christ, he will see you without spot and blameless and holy. Folks, the only way we can be for God Almighty as being blameless and without spot and holy is to be forgiven. Oh, it's not on the outline. I'll stop right there then. Going from my head for a moment. There are things that are temporary. If you see it with your eyes, it's temporary. And there are things that are eternal. Your spiritual body that is coming in the future is eternal. Heaven and hell is eternal. Either eternal condemnation or eternal life. You need to set your mind and your affections on the eternal and not on the temporary. This world is going to be destroyed. This world and this body that we have right now is not what it's all about. What it's all about is the spiritual body you're going to receive in the last day, in the day of the resurrection. What it's all about is making sure that when that resurrection comes and you do receive your spiritual body, and it is coming in your future, that you are raised to eternal life to be with God Almighty forever in heaven. And so, coming back to the main point I've been trying to make this morning and finally closing out tonight, what are you going to do with this book? What are you going to do with it? I want to encourage you to open it on your own. Put down the screens, put down the iPads, put down the computers, and open the book. Now, if the book happens to be on your iPad and screen, it's okay. Well, whatever you got to do, go to the Word of God and read it. The reason I'm telling you this is because this is how our faith comes, brethren. Everybody who's not going to ever get to the point of having faith is going to be through reading the Word of God. It functions as a giant arrow pointing to Jesus Christ. And when it leads you to Christ, you're going to come to understand the reason he came in the form of flesh and blood. The reason he died was so our sins could be forgiven. The reason he rose from the dead is to conquer death and the one who had the power of death, Satan, and free us from bondage to Satan, sin, and death. Folks, this is the reality of our existence now and what is coming in our future. God, through his word, has showed us the last day. What you need to be doing right now is preparing yourself for that day. Preparing yourself to meet your God. Preparing yourself for the day of judgment. Preparing yourself for the day of the resurrection. Preparing yourself for the time when the universe will be destroyed and God will be creating a new heaven and a new earth. Do you want to go into the new heaven and the new earth to be with God and Jesus Christ or not? If you answer that yes with a resounding yes, then obey the gospel if you haven't. As I showed you earlier, the way you become a member of the house of God is by obeying the gospel of God. The gospel of God is dealing with who Jesus is. He's the Christ, the Son of God, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. Be willing to confess that faith and driven by your faith, repent. That is to follow the word of God as you learn the will of God from the scriptures and you obey the will of God. Then in your life, you're living and walking by faith. When you live and walk by faith, following the Word of God in your life, in a nutshell, that's Christianity. And what you're trying to do is live by faith all the way to the close of your life, because it's coming. That's preparing yourself and living every day of your life as if it is the last day of your life or the last day of our universe. Live prepared for the last day, always. Because, brethren, it's coming. It's coming. And so prepare for this day, please, so that you will be found in Christ, blameless, holy, and pure by the power of the blood of the Christ, because your sins and my sins have been forgiven. I thank you for your kind attention. If there's anybody here this evening who is not in Christ yet and you believe He is the Christ, confess your faith, repent of your sins, and then be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. That's how you obey the gospel of God. If you've already obeyed the gospel of God and you're in the house of God already and you realize, no, I've got sin that I haven't dealt with. I got sin standing between me and my God. I want to encourage you one last time. Go straight into it. And take it to God with a broken and contrite spirit, driven by godly sorrow, crying out to God for forgiveness yet again. And the Lord will forgive you. Folks, that's the way anybody who's going to make it is going to make it, is by God forgiving us. So make sure you leave the building right with God. And make sure you live every day of your life prepared to meet your God. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the song that Jay has selected.